What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
We are back on Get Up, and our spring training schedule on ESPN and the ESPN app continues this afternoon with Grapefruit League action between the Nationals and the Mets at 1 Eastern, and then we'll wrap up our spring training schedule tomorrow with the World Series champion Dodgers taking on the Royals. That's 3 Eastern right here on ESPN. And with that, we welcome you back to our studios. Get Up from the Seaport, coming to you live as always above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Greeny, Canty, and a cast of, well, not thousands, but something like dozens, as we are talking football and basketball and a whole lot more on a very busy Thursday. Here comes the menu. It is time to get up with the beginning of the frenzy. An NFL owner sounds the alarm. This is going to get crazy, and it's going to start right now. You'll hear that, and we'll show you exactly what could, should, and will happen in the most impactful offseason of all time. Plus, we have the path for this quarterback to become a monster of the Midway, and why it absolutely needs to happen right now. All that and more as we get up with you, starting right now on ESPN. And it begins with the seismic shift. Those are the words being used by an NFL owner today. And we've already seen the beginning of it. Matthew Stafford, you know it by now, traded to the Rams for Jared Goff and a package of draft picks. Stafford putting up big numbers in Detroit, never getting playoff wins. Here's his opportunity. Carson Wentz, also already dealt, now a member of the Colts. They traded draft picks to reunite him with his former offensive coordinator, Frank Reich, who's now his head coach. He needs to turn his career around. J.J. Watt, meanwhile, just last week finding a new home in Arizona, a 2-year deal after spending 10 seasons with the Texans. The owner of the Cardinals is Michael Bidwill, and he had this to say about what we should expect in the next week to 10 days.
Going to be a seismic shift in talent across the NFL. You've got teams that are projected to be well over the cap. You've got teams projected to be well under. You know, I know every free agent or potential free agent out there is thinking, well, they're not going to get released, but, you know, they're going to be a bunch of surprises for people when everybody has to get under the cap and free agency starts. I see a big shift, seismic shift in terms of talent moving around.
Seismic shift. You hear him repeating those words over and over. And our NFL insider extraordinaire, Diana Russini, tweeting yesterday that she texted with an NFL head coach about the upcoming cuts. And he expects, quote, it's going to be a massacre next week all around the league. And so we wanted to get Diana in here this morning. Thanks again for getting up, Diana. When we hear seismic shift in all of this, what do we mean? Why is this happening?
Yeah, hi, Mike. So next week, you're going to see a lot more players on the free agency market, players that you probably wouldn't expect. Because the salary cap has gone down, teams are in trouble, teams that have already been in a position where they were overspending. We don't know what the salary cap is exactly at right now, but most GMs I've been talking to around the league, they're planning as if it's between 180 and absolutely tops at 185. So it's quite the difference compared to last year's cap, which is around like 198, 197. So they've really had to tighten up the purse strings. So what does this mean now? GMs, coaches are looking at their rosters and looking at those contracts, usually veterans with guaranteed, with no longer guaranteed money, and they're basically evaluating, can we do without them? So on a normal free agency season this time of year, we see lots of cuts. But this year, we can expect a much bigger wide range of players in the free agency market now.
And so let's be clear on when we should expect this to happen. The legal tampering period, if you will, begins a week from Monday. Free agency, the new league year, begins a week from Wednesday. So 2 weeks from yesterday. When should we expect to start seeing a lot of these names, these cuts, start to come in?
All right. Well, we saw them already, right? So we saw Kyle Van Noy. That was pretty surprising. That's a big name. He was a captain on the team for the Miami Dolphins. We saw Golden Tate last night. We saw Jared Cook for the New Orleans Saints. Kyle Rudolph for the Minnesota Vikings. These are veteran players who, Greeny, in most cases, and I talked to a GM about this actually this morning, In most cases, they're willing to keep these kind of players on the team, but because they've got to make these tough decisions and perhaps maybe give younger guys opportunities, cheaper guys opportunities, this is the result of what's going on now. So teams like the Atlanta Falcons, the Eagles, the Steelers, the Rams, all are kind of in a cap trouble situation right now. Those are teams you should keep an eye on over the next 48 hours, even into all of next week, to see who's going to make some of those cuts to those vet guys.
Outstanding work. Diana Russini, thank you so much for this, and we'll keep you close. If any of those, any more players start to be released, we will certainly come back to you as I bring the rest of the crew in here to talk through this a little bit. And I think it is a fascinating circumstance because teams plan their way into the future financially. No one obviously planned for a season in which the cap would drop precipitously because there was a global pandemic. That's not something people anticipate. And then when the new TV deals come in, which is going to be soon, the cap is going to skyrocket again. So this really field is sort of a one-year blip. So which teams do we think are in the biggest trouble as a result, and which teams could take the biggest advantage of it?
So Diana laid out some of the teams that are in some trouble there, Greeny. I'll add the Eagles, which she mentioned a little bit. That's a team that I think we understand is going through a roster transition. So they may decide that if there is a time to purge the roster of some higher priced salaries because you're not likely to be a playoff contender, this could be it. Let's go to the other side of the coin here, though, Greeny. And if you need to earmuff it for a second, I understand. The Patriots, who this past year went 7-9, and it felt like, you know, the earth had come to an end in New England, could be primed to spend a ton of money this offseason. They've got $60-ish million in salary cap space. They've got a handful of players that are contributors for their roster coming back via opt-outs. And I mentioned this last hour, and I'll say it again. Just ask yourself whether Bill Belichick, who's closing in on the NFL's all-time wins record, a man in his late 60s, whether he wants to go through another year of 7-9 with a losing record. The Patriots know what their needs are. It's not just quarterback, it's wide receiver, it's tight end, and it's more defensive playmakers. They are equipped to be buyers in what's going to be a buyer's market because of all the pieces that are going to become free agents because of this unusual circumstance with the deflated salary cap.
Again, they were 7-9 last year, and the former quarterback won the Super Bowl in his first year in Tampa. So, Rob Ninkovich, you played for Bill a long time. You know the mentality. You know the way it works. Do you expect him to do something that, by his standards, would be somewhat uncharacteristic and get super aggressive in free agency and in the draft?
Just like the stock market, if you got cash in a dip, you can win big. So as this thing dips down here and the salary cap came down, teams that have a lot of money to spend, they're going to win because there's going to be a wide variety of players available because these teams that are in the red that are close to being above the salary cap are going to have to get rid of players. So you're going to be able to go into free agency and evaluate what is the best fit for my team because I have a lot of money I can spend. And the Patriots are going to win big in this situation. They have a lot of money to spend. They can evaluate all the talent that's being released from other teams, and they could go and make a nice run this year because they're going to be able to invest in their team with the money that they have in salary cap space.
It's fascinating because for so many years they dominated what has been, a generally speaking, a bad division. But all of a sudden, the Bills are anything but bad. The Dolphins feel like a team on the come. For what it's worth, the Jets also have a lot of salary cap space and a lot of draft picks. So what do we expect there? Do you expect to see the Patriots come roaring back and go from what they were this year, out of the playoffs and under 500, to a legit contender next season?
Yeah, I think they have the opportunity to. Now, a lot of that is going to hinge on what they do at the quarterback position because I think that's what a lot of these veteran players that are going to be released will be looking at. I've been a cap casualty before in my NFL career, and one of the things that I was focused on was going to a place that had a quarterback, a place where I could set myself up for future success contract-wise and have the potential to compete for a championship. It feels like the Patriots checked two of those three boxes, but they've got to figure out what they're doing at the quarterback spot first, and I think a lot of their plans this offseason are going to hinge on what happens there.
Good point. We're actually going to go to Foxborough Live in a little while here on the show and figure out what they're going to do at quarterback. Meanwhile, again, Chris Canty is with me, and you're one of the biggest people. Give me again the measurement.
6'8", 330.
6'8", 330. You're a big man, but you're not the biggest man on the show today. Show me Shaq. Show me what Shaquille O'Neal did last night. Let's take a look. Do we have it? Shaquille O'Neal. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, last night, wrestling. Shaq involved. Take a look. Shaq. Oh!
Boom!
AEW. Shaq.
He's asleep, cuz.
We went to a table, and he seems to be out. Chris Canty, what do we think?
Yeah, that's a lot of courage for that guy to go out and run that check like that and knock him over the top rope. Big fella.
Taken out in an ambulance? Oh, my goodness.
He's asleep. He's asleep.
I have a suspicion he's probably fine. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that can't feel good, though, Green. That's a long way down for a big guy.
That's a long way down for a little guy. All right. As we continue here, much more to come as we get up with you on this morning. 2020, we've talked about it. Bad year for Bill in the past. Why next year could be much, much better quickly. We're going there live. Plus, I believe we've come up with a genius plan for the Cowboys to solve their Dak Prescott problem. You'll hear what that is as we continue. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Back on Get Up and Let's Play Either Or, the quarterback edition. Here we go. Chris Canty, Zach Wilson or Sam Darnold? Who you got?
I'm going with Zach Wilson. Sam Darnold is just good enough to get you fired. And what I mean by that is he keeps you chasing after this potential. Everybody wants to talk about all of these different reasons why he hadn't success. All I hear is excuses, and I'm tired of it. He's still a huge question mark. And if I got to keep asking the question of whether or not he can do the job, eventually the answer is going to be no. The Jets need to take a quarterback with the second overall pick.
All right, I'm done talking to you. Let's go to the next one. Field Yates, Tua or Justin Fields? Who you got?
All right, so for the Dolphins, the answer is Tua. But in a vacuum, I'm going with Justin Fields. I just see so much poise, so much potential here with Justin Fields. He had a couple of games in college against quality competition where he was not at his best. But the Clemson tape from the college football semifinal this past year will be something I'll always remember about Justin Fields. I love the player.
Played hurt, played well, someone seems to be falling down some boards. Rob Ninkovich, Mac Jones or Jimmy G? Who you got?
I'm going Jimmy G, the Chi-Town kid. He's going to be a great fit back in New England if they can get him back to New England. Look, he's been there. He knows what to expect. He's been coached by Bill Belichick. He knows the pressures involved. So guess what? Go and get Jimmy G. Your team will be better for it.
Ninko loves him for two reasons. He's a former teammate and he's a Chi-Town kid. Meanwhile, let's go to Foxborough because that's really what we were looking at there. Jimmy G may be reunited with Bill. Feels like it's on the table. And the man who knows all is Mike Reese, our outstanding Patriots reporter. Mike, we've been talking here about how the Patriots have an opportunity to get much better really fast. But the big question remains, what are they going to do at quarterback? What's the answer?
Well, let's start with the draft, Greeny. I think when we talk about their strategy and their approach, they're all in right now on the draft quarterbacks. They tipped us off by attending Trevor Lawrence's pro day. They were one of just 17 teams to do that. Now, think about that, Greeny. What? They have no shot at Trevor Lawrence. They pick 15th overall in the draft. So why are they there? They want the most thorough evaluation of the entire class. So when they get to the draft and they start thinking more about strategy, they can make a determination. Do we want to trade up a little bit? Do we want to stand pat like we did in 2014? And Jimmy Garoppolo fell to us in the second round. So that's all information that they're gathering right now, and they'll see where that process takes them.
I get that, Mike, but here's the deal. Night one of the draft is 8 weeks from today. Free agency is less than 2 weeks from today. The scenario you just laid out suggests that they're not going to be in on a lot of these free agents. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but is that what we should take from that, the Ryan Fitzpatricks and others of the world?
I think anything is possible with Bill Belichick, Greeny, but the point that I would make on that is if they don't think there's an answer, They're not just going to check the box for the sake of checking the box. Bill Belichick says it quite a bit. If you draft for need or if you sign a player for need and overpay, chances are that's going to be a need for you the next year as well. So they'll explore all their options. A lot of this too, Greeny, is out of their control. You've talked about the quarterback carousel quite a bit the last few weeks. They might have an opportunity that's available to them that they don't know right now, so they want to leave themselves perhaps some flexibility to capitalize on that.
And I would just throw the name Jimmy Garoppolo back into it. Started there. There is a perception, at least externally, that Bill Belichick loves him, loved him and still likes him. Does that feel like a real possibility?
So if Jimmy Garoppolo is available to the Patriots, I believe that he would be number one on their list. They love him in Foxborough. That being said, Greeny, you can't make another team trade you. Their player and John Lynch, the general manager out in San Francisco, is on the record as saying, you know, he believes Jimmy is their guy this year. Unless they can find someone better. Who might that be? I think if you're the Patriots, you can't bank on that, Greeny, so you got to start thinking of other scenarios.
Okay, yeah, I mean, that someone obviously, at least one of those someones could be Deshaun Watson that they could figure out someone for in a trade. But again, to sort of sum it up here, your general feeling on this is that it is likelier they will make a move at quarterback in the draft than it is they will make one before then.
So, Greeny, I'm thinking a placeholder. You know, whatever move they make right now, I don't think it'll be a permanent move. It would be the type of thing that will continue to give them flexibility. So whether that's bringing back Cam Newton as an example, like you can bring him back and still be aggressive in the draft. Even if it's Garoppolo, that doesn't mean you can't draft another quarterback. So I think whatever they do, it'll be based in flexibility. The idea that this might not be our number one option, our number one guy going forward, but he can get us as a bridge to where we might ultimately end up.
All right, outstanding. Mike Reese, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. Whatever happens, you know that we'll get it first from you. I just have a moment here to bring this to the rest of my crew. And Field Yates, I want to come to you on this if I can. There you are. The idea of Jimmy Garoppolo becoming available. I mean, we all love it, right? Ninkovich loves it. Everyone loves the idea. But to Reese's point, he needs to become available. How does that happen?
Well, the draft comes around and free agency comes around too, Greeny, because it's one thing for John Lynch to say in mid-February that we're committed to Jimmy Garoppolo. I want to see what happens on April 29th when the 49ers are currently scheduled to have the 12th overall pick. What if a player like Justin Fields starts to drop down the board to pick 5 or 6 and the 49ers are saying, we'll move mountains to acquire Justin Fields with the 6th, 7th, 8th overall pick. If that means trading our 12th overall pick and a first-round pick in future years, I just have been down this road, or we have been down this road too many times where GMs say things that are declarative statements early in the offseason and they prove to be fool's gold later. Jimmy G could certainly return to San Francisco, but I'm keeping my eyes on the 49ers as being very opportunistic this offseason.
Rob Ninkovich, I got 5 seconds for you. Yes or no, you will get a Jimmy Garoppolo Patriots jersey if he comes back?
Yes.
Fair enough. And you will wear it on this show. You heard it here first. That's coming. All right, UFC 259 is coming also Saturday. An absolute stacked card. 3 titles on the line. Prelim start 8 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Plus, and ESPN Deportes. Main card is 10 Eastern on pay-per-view. To order in English and Spanish, go to ESPNplus.com/PPV. Coming up, Deshaun Watson wants out. We have the plays for him. The one team that needs to move heaven and earth right now. That's on the way. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
you want baseball, this is the place for it. Our spring training schedule continues this afternoon. Grapefruit League game, Nats and Mets, 1 Eastern. And then tomorrow, we got the World Series champion Dodgers taking on the Royals, 3 Eastern. It's on ESPN and the ESPN app. Huge half hour is on the way. The NFL made some noise about one rule that all quarterbacks love and everyone else hates. You'll hear what the discussion is and why it matters a lot next.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Back on Get Up, and this is sneaky big news, not getting nearly enough attention. With the annual league meeting coming at the end of the month in the NFL, owners could vote to approve a new rule change, which would make roughing the passer reviewable by replay. The potential for implementation calls to mind the league's failed experiment with pass interference replay review, which could be a preview of how owners consider this proposal. Let's talk about it. The K from KJZ has come across the studio here. Keyshawn Johnson is with us here. What do you think? Would you like to see roughing the passer be reviewable?
Well, first of all, I feel like I'm here with my probation officers because I'm a little underdressed, but that's a whole nother story. Yes, I would. It'll slow the game down just a little bit, but I think you can get in and out on the review there. You don't have to continue to watch it the full however many minutes they give it, because it's typical. Either you're hitting him at his legs or you're striking him in the helmet. Chest bumping and things of that nature. And a lot of times the defensive lineman, and Chris can tell you, they get pushed into the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And if you're being pushed into the quarterback and you can't stop your momentum, that's not a penalty. And we see it all the time in the course of games. It does change games, the outcome, big time.
Now, here's Chris Canty, who, again, I'll remind everyone, played defensive line in the National Football League, so you are hopelessly biased on this topic, but what do you think?
Well, listen, I feel like I'm pretty objective when it comes to this one. With anything, it's all about the application of the rule, right? Anytime you go through a rules change. But in this particular instance, I think it's something that is worth looking at, just because, you know, with the referees, they're going to err on the side of caution when it comes to protecting quarterbacks. And in real time, that human element, you want to try to guard against that. And I think having replay as an option to give yourself a chance to make sure you can go back and correct some of the mistakes, I think it makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah, and it's not the same as catching a football. Did he fumble? Did his knee go down? You know, no. Is the ball bobbling? This is boom, boom. I mean, you can clearly see when roughing the passer is on your television, or the referees could clearly see it with their eyes. It's not a difficult thing at all.
There's this things like this, the landing on and all that kind of stuff, right? You can't come down with your body weight and all that kind of stuff. They have gone so far to protect the quarterbacks. And generally speaking, most fans, I think, while you get frustrated with this, would admit that it is imperative to keep the quarterbacks healthy.
It is, but you can clearly see it, though. I can tell if Chris Canty decides that he's going to land on a quarterback and his body weight is forcing himself to dump him. I could see that. I don't need to slow it down, replay it again. No, I could see. It's just like that. It happens instantly. I can tell whether or not Chris is crawling and striking the quarterback with his helmet on the knee. Was it purposely done, or was he pushed into the guy? Did he try to stop with his momentum, and because he was looking to bat the ball down, strike a guy in the head? I could see that clear. Clear as day.
So remind me what your final season was in the NFL.
2015.
15. So that was right around the time this stuff was coming in there. Like when you watch these guys, can you see the difference? Like, you would go in there with entirely different intentions. Give me the mindset that you had when you had a shot at the quarterback and what you think players have to have now.
Well, here's the thing. Defensive line coaches are preaching to their players to cut the quarterback in half. And I know that sounds violent, but that's the message, because that puts you in the safe area in terms of the quarterback strike zone. And you have to be careful with it, because it's so hard as a defensive lineman to get back there to the quarterback. quarterback. You're just trying to get him down any way you can. So it makes it really hard when you don't have the option of having replay because with some of these officials, they don't necessarily get the calls right in real time. To have a chance to go back to correct it when they overstep, I think that's the right thing to do.
People are making a lot of comparisons to a couple of years ago when they decided they were going to replay pass interference, and it felt like they were making a point of never overturning those. Do you expect to see something like that here?
No, I don't. A pass interference is a hard one, though, right? It's, did you impede the guy from going to get the football? We can always go to the Rams-New Orleans game
right.
playoffs and say, that's clear as day. How could you miss that? But the little things of grabbing a guy on a shallow cross, pulling him by his jerseys, just enough tug to slow him down. So, yeah, they didn't overturn a lot of those because they wasn't glaring.
On what percentage of plays when you were a star receiver in the NFL were you interfered with or held and it wasn't called? What's the percentage, Keyshawn Johnson?
I would probably say 50-50 because I got away with a lot of stuff. I remember I tell this story all the time. We were playing against the Cincinnati Bengals and it was like, I want to say it was third in a million. I literally on Cincinnati sideline ran down, dropped my weight, came out of the break, but I shoved the dude. He wind up over there by the get-up sign in front of the refs. They didn't do anything. First down, move the chain. So both sides.
It's a fascinating admission. And again, I know this is an unpopular position to take, but everything they do to protect the quarterbacks in the NFL, I'm in favor of because we've seen what it looks like when those guys aren't healthy, and it's just not as good as much as you D linemen tend to hate them.
No, you're right, man. It's just too far. It's gone too far this way. I know after that Tom Brady injury that happened,
he
missed the entire season. Mm-hmm. Everybody was saying we got to protect the quarterbacks because they're the marquee of the National Football League. But the pendulum has swung way too far in that direction. I feel like the implementation of this rule brings it back to center.
It's not necessarily that with Tom Brady's situation for me. It's more about the drop-off.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see the backups. They're backup for a reason. I don't want to see the second and third quarterbacks. Different than other positions. You can get away with the, sort of the backup receiver because there's many of them, or defensive lineman or running back. But the one quarterback is only one star quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
We got to have him on the field at all times.
You can't, if the owners are driving this, also remember how much money they're paying these quarterbacks, and they're not paying them to be sitting in the tub. Keyshawn Johnson again, coast to coast every morning on
Probation officers, I'll see you guys later.
Thank you very much, Key. Outstanding. Meanwhile, let's take you to the game of the night last night, and this was the spectacle everyone wanted to see. James Harden making his return to Houston as a member of the Nets after the way it ended for him as a Rocket. Here's how it sounded.
And the other guy, 6'5", out of Arizona State, number 13, James Harden.
Now, more cheers than boos is the way it sounded there. And then during the first timeout, there was a video tribute. And then Harden came out, acknowledged the crowd. All things considered, was a pretty nice night. And then Harden did all the things that Harden does. Just continues to be spectacular. That was a nice dish to Bruce Brown. Here he is getting to the hole. Harden almost had a triple-double at halftime, and the Nets had a 13-point lead at the break, and then more of the same into the fourth quarter. We go under 8 minutes left. The Nets lead is 8, and here is Harden. How many times have we seen him do that in that building? That's a 3. Then under 7 minutes to go, hand in the face, doesn't matter. James Harden, 29 points, 14 assists, 10 boards, so a triple-double in his return to Houston, and all was well. Brooklyn with a nice win. We got hugs, we got handshakes, we got a pair of sneakers for a kid in the stands. Pretty good night, all things considered, for James Harden. Here he was after the game.
Hopefully I did something right. Obviously I came up short of a championship, but the work on and off the court that I put in over those past 8 years, you know, was elite, you know, and I think that's the only thing that I didn't do or didn't accomplish is the championship, which is difficult to obtain.
So James Harden scored or assisted on 59 points in this game yesterday. That's the most ever in a player's first game against his last former team in the last 20 years, surpassing Kyrie Irving's 56 against the Celtics. Harden and Kyrie, of course, teammates now in Brooklyn. All right, as we continue, what will happen with Dak Prescott and Russell Wilson? That's one thing. What should happen? I have the answer. And I'm telling you right now, I'm right. And you'll hear it next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, we got good college basketball coming your way tonight. Two huge rivalry games on ESPN. Number 2, Michigan hosting Michigan State. That's 7 Eastern. And then another Red River showdown between Texas and Oklahoma. Both games have big NCAA tournament implications. The dance is right around the corner, and you'll see a lot of the good action tonight right here on ESPN, which is where you find us every single morning. Get up on ESPN with you commercial-free for the next 17 minutes, talking tons and tons of football, Greeny, Canty, and we got a whole crew ready. Again, we're with you commercial-free till the top of the hour, and that is when First Take will come your way. James Harden's return was terrific last night. Max, Stephen A., and Molly will tell you why the Nets are hitting a stride that should be very scary for the rest of the NBA. That's First Take following us at the top of the hour. Again, we are commercial-free, and we're taking a look at today's green list, to borrow a phrase from my radio show. I've got 5 things that could, should, or would happen in the NFL over the next 2 weeks. And the first is this. The Cowboys need the trade for Russell Wilson. And I want to make it 100% clear. I love Dak Prescott. I think he is a great player. And I think he has done nothing to deserve this. But the reality is the Cowboys have negotiated themselves into such a corner that their options are as follows. Pay Dak $38 million to play for them this year and then have him walk away for nothing, or find a way to get Russell Wilson at a much lower price point. He's $70 million for the next 3 years combined, and build for your future around another quarterback. Again, Dak Prescott is a 1-year proposition for Dallas. Field Yates, do I have a buyer in you?
No, Greeny, and here's the reason why. It actually has nothing to do with your logic. It's that I just don't know what the Cowboys can offer the Seahawks that comes anywhere close to what they would need to see in order to entertain a Russell Wilson trade. The maximum the Cowboys can trade in terms of first-round picks is 3 in total. You'd have to add good young players to that. I just don't know that the Cowboys have an offer compelling enough for Seattle to look at this and say, all right, fine, we're going to move on from a franchise icon in Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's a better player in a vacuum than Dak Prescott, but I just don't see any scenario in which the Cowboys actually land Russ.
All right, bookmark that because I want to come back to you on the Dak of it all, but let me go to Ninkovich. And do I have a buyer on my plan from you, Rob Ninkovich?
No, I'm not going with this deal, Greeny. I just think that doesn't make sense. And you think about Seattle, why would you give up Russell Wilson? I mean, this guy right here, he's really, really good. I missed him a bunch of times. I got him a couple of times too. But I'm just saying, having a player of that caliber, you would have to get like 6 first-round picks, high first-round picks, to even hope that you could try and be lucky enough to find somebody like that, like Russell Wilson in the draft. So I don't think it makes sense for Seattle. It makes sense for the Cowboys. Yeah, let's try and get Russell Wilson here. Great. He's a great quarterback, of course. But if you're Seattle, you're like, no. We're holding on to this guy. He's really, really good. We'll get him an offensive lineman or two to make him happy.
I get that. But it doesn't make any less sense to trade Russell Wilson than it does to trade Deshaun Watson. The players can make these things happen in the NFL in 2021 if they insist upon it. So, Canty, I know you agree with me.
No, you're striking out. 0-3, Greeny. I'm not with you on that one. And the difference between Deshaun and Dak is Dak actually wants to be a Cowboy. Even with the disrespect that Jerry Jones has given him, he still wants to be a Cowboy. I think they got to find a way to get this done. The question you have to ask yourself with the Wilson-Prescott proposition is the difference in production that you're getting from Russell Wilson at quarterback worth what it would cost in terms of trade compensation to the Seattle Seahawks? I don't think it is. I stay with Dak.
Hold everything. Again, we believe Dak Prescott wants to be a Cowboy, but he's had many opportunities to sign a contract and remain a Cowboy, and he's chosen not to do it. That's his prerogative. Russell Wilson's agent has said on the record that Russell Wilson wants to be a Cowboy. So, Yates, let me come back to you, because you're all telling me all the reasons this can't happen. So you tell me how the Cowboys are going to play this out with Dak Prescott now. Prescott's starting. He's going to get, if he gets franchised, that's $38 million to start this year. You're going to bring him back for one season, let him walk away for nothing next year?
No, ultimately, you're going to wave the white flag and concede that you butchered this process from the beginning, Greeny. And what that means is that you're going to give Dak Prescott a contract that is what he wants on his terms. I just don't know how the Cowboys can exhaust any more leverage over Dak Prescott. They don't have any remaining leverage over Dak because a third tag seems incredibly unpalatable next year. And as you mentioned, the second tag pays Dak Prescott around $38 million for this year. In a year when the salary cap could be as low as $180 million, the Cowboys cannot afford to have over 20% of their cap be tied up in one player who's on a one-year deal. I think ultimately what happens, he gets franchise tagged, and the two sides agree to a long-term deal that is playing by Dak's rules as opposed to the Cowboys' rules, and they've got to figure out the rest of the roster around him as opposed to having the advantage, which they have had over the past 5 years, of Dak being a discount and the rest of the roster being a more expensive group of players in total.
Look, I'll say this. I've been around Jerry Jones a little bit. He doesn't seem like a white flag waiver to me. So we'll see. I know it makes sense. I'll have to see it to believe it. Next up is Chicago, Rob Ninkovich's hometown, and we're talking about the Bears. They've had quarterback questions at this point for roughly 101 years, and the answer is Deshaun Watson. Not that man, not Dak Prescott. The Bears have to trade for Deshaun Watson. They need to be on the phone right now. Here's the way this thing works. Ryan Pace needs to be on the phone with Nick Cazario, and he needs to say the following. I know you're holding fast to this idea that you're not going to trade Deshaun Watson, but let's face it. I know, and in your heart, you know, you're ultimately going to have to. So before all these other teams playing musical chairs wind up finding their guy, here's my best offer. I'm going to make you an offer with which you save some degree of face. Let's make this deal. I get the quarterback I need, and you get what you need in return in order to start the rebuilding process right now. To me, it makes sense. Rob Ninkovich, a Chicago kid, what do you think?
It makes perfect sense. Chicago, if they had a guy of that caliber, they'd be division champs. They'd win the division. I think that they would. With that defense that they have, with under Nagy, they've been a top five defense. They've been a bottom of the league offense. What have they been missing? Leadership at the quarterback position. If you get Deshaun Watson, guess what? He changes that. Your defense is more confident because not only do they have to just go out there and get the ball back to the offense, they can tell each other, look, hey guys, we don't need to score. We don't need to score points. Last year we had to score points. This year, let's just get the ball to the offense because they're going to score. So Chicago, do whatever you got to do. Call up Houston, give them whatever they want, and Houston, get rid of them, because if you hold on to them, it's just going to be a big problem, and it's going to get into the training camp, and the rest of the team's going to experience just the negativity of all that.
It's an interesting thought, Canty. Again, you played on the defensive side as well. The way that defense might benefit from the acquisition of Deshaun Watson. Every now and again, you look at them, and they look deflated because they know they're doing it sometimes, it seems, almost by themselves. Do you agree with Deshaun Watson on the Bears? Are they a better team than the Green Bay Packers next year?
No, I'm not going to go that far, but I think they're set up to have more success than the Green Bay Packers over the next 3 to 5 seasons, and that's what you're thinking about if you're general manager Ryan Pace. So to me, it makes all the sense in the world to try to go out and be aggressive and see if you can make this deal happen, because GM Ryan Pace and head coach Matt Nagy, they don't have the luxury of time. They almost got fired at the end of last year, so they have to have some urgency about how they address that quarterback spot. That's the missing piece for the Chicago Bears. I think Deshaun Watson makes them a playoff team in 2021, but it sets them up to be a championship contender in future seasons.
At the end of the day, I want your take on the premise that I'm setting up here, which is that while I know the Texans continue to tell everyone publicly that they're not going to trade him, is the belief around the league and the people that you talk to that eventually they will recognize they have to and he will be dealt before the draft?
Yes, that's the people around the league are operating under, Greeny, because they don't believe that if the Texans don't trade Deshaun Watson, he'll just show up and work. They wonder if the Texans don't trade Deshaun Watson, whether he'll even show up at all. And the only thing worse, if you're Nick Caserio, than having to trade Deshaun Watson is not trading him and not have him on your roster at all, having him sit out. So I'm going to take your plan one step further. Ryan Pace, the Bears GM, needs to relocate office headquarters from Chicago to Houston and just camp out outside of NRG Stadium until he has a deal in place with Nick Caserio for Deshaun Watson, because the Bears need to win this year. They understand that jobs are on the line in 2021. And if somebody has a better option, an option period, to make the Bears better at quarterback, I'd love to hear it because I can't find it at the time.
Yeah, they said the other day, all possibilities, all options are on the table. There should only be one. It should be Deshaun Watson, and they should do everything they can to go and get him. Again, my green list of the top things that would, could, should, and will happen this offseason. The next involves the New York Jets, and it is my belief, I've come to the conclusion, that the Jets should give it a shot with Sam Darnold for one more season. Put a real team around him. Give him a real coach. Give him a real chance. And trade the number two pick for the king's ransom that we have seen go for the second pick in the draft in the past. Part of the reason is because Mel Kiper Jr., in an answer to a mailbag question the other day, said that aside from Trevor Lawrence, he liked all the quarterbacks in last year's class better than the ones in this year's class. A guy like Zach Wilson, and we wish him the very best, these guys are a 50-50 proposition. So if you keep Sam Darnold and you get a king's ransom in return for that second pick, and in recent years when teams have traded up to get the second pick in the draft for a quarterback, there have been multiple first-rounders and others that have gone in that proposition. I think that is the Jets' best chance of rebuilding a roster. Chris Canty, you host a local talk show on ESPN New York. What do you think?
Greeny, I think you're out of your mind. The Jets absolutely have to take a quarterback at two. If they don't like any of the quarterbacks, I can understand that. But it's hard for me to believe that they wouldn't think that there's one of these guys in this draft class that they believe can emerge as a guy that could be their future franchise quarterback. I just don't see that happening. You're talking about as many as four guys going in the top 10 in this year's NFL draft. The last time that happened, you had one guy that got his team to the conference championship this year, Josh Allen, and another guy in Lamar Jackson who won an MVP. So you have a chance at being able to get the second best quarterback in this draft class. I think if you're Joe Douglas, you have to seriously explore it. I don't think that there's anything that you've seen in Sam Darnold's first 3 years that could give you enough conviction to pass on that opportunity.
But Chris, the example you just gave me is in some level arguing against yourself, because you know who else picked a quarterback in that draft? The Jets did.
They
traded up to three to take him. These things are a risky proposition no matter what. You have not seen any flashes. You have seen enough in him to decide you are ready to give up. I feel like that's what you're saying. You're ready to give up on Sam Darnold.
Well, I don't think that Sam Darnold is going to be able to resurrect his career here with the Jets. I just think it's a confidence issue with him. And beyond that, if you're the New York Jets, it makes sense from the financial aspect of it. From a team-building standpoint, you don't want to have to commit to Sam Darnold on a fifth-year option. You go with the younger, cheaper player, and you bet on his potential rather than betting on a guy that you've already seen fail three seasons prior to this one.
Ninkovich, what do you think?
You know what builds confidence? Great players. So go out there and build a great team around Sam Darnold. Go get some great players. Trade away that second pick and go get a ton of great talent, and you'll get his confidence back. I think I've seen enough from him. I've seen flashes. Sure, you've seen some bad plays, but that comes with instability in the coaching and losing confidence throughout playing for the Jets. So I think he can regain that confidence and get back to where he was in college in the pros. I think he can do it. I really do. They just need to go out and get some more key pieces and load up. They got a lot of money, and they have draft capital.
Yates, let me ask you the question this way, because I know that in principle you disagree with my take. But let me ask you the question this way. Is there any quarterback that could have succeeded under the circumstances Sam Darnold has faced the 3 years he's been in New York?
Oh, there are quarterbacks that just have a better natural skill set that could have succeeded over Sam Darnold over the past 3 years. I mean, obviously a Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson type talent is what we're talking about. So I get it. The cards were stacked against him, Greeny, but it's time to reset the clock, build some new buzz, and allow the Greenberg household to actually look forward to their Sunday spent watching Jets football once again. It's been far too long, my friend.
Oh, yes. It's been a very long time. And candidly, that's an emotion I'm not even familiar with. Let me give you one more from the green list today. And this one, I think, is the simplest of them all. I believe the Eagles should just rally around Jalen Hurts as their quarterback this year and trade the sixth pick in the draft. I believe someone will be coming up to try and take a quarterback there. We've already made the point today. They're way over the salary cap. This is a pure rebuilding process. The kid showed you some flashes last year. Let's see what we've got in him. Try and begin your rebuilding process by trading that sixth pick and getting a bunch in return for it and get yourself a bunch of good players. Field Yates, agree or disagree?
I agree with you, Greeny. The only scenario I wouldn't would be if the Eagles are absolutely enamored with a quarterback who slips to pick six and you take him there. But otherwise, Greeny, like my mindset if I'm Philly going into this draft is Jalen Hurts is our quarterback and we're taking the best available between Ja'Marr Chase, Devontae Smith, and Jalen Waddle amongst those wide receivers. One of them, if not more of them, are going to be available. Let's make this wide receiver room look a little bit more respectable and give Jalen Hurts some weapons to work with and build this thing not quite from the bottom up, but close to the bottom and back up.
Let me ask you, Ninkovich, what do you think?
Jalen Hurts checks all the boxes. We saw that last year against a top-ranked defense in the Saints. He went out there and he just dismantled them with his feet. His ability to run, his ability to get out of situations, scramble for first downs, and throw makes him a great pick and continue to stay with the Eagles. Do not go out and draft another quarterback when you don't have to. Go and get another key receiver. Go get some other pieces that will help Hurts continue to grow. We saw last year some great flashes. Now let them develop and continue to grow.
Yeah, I think that's the right plan. And if it isn't, if it does not turn out that Jalen Hurts is your quarterback for the future, then you have other time. You're not winning the championship this year no matter what you do. I'm not going to ask you your thoughts on this transaction, Chris Canty, because you had another transaction that took place yesterday that I think is more significant, and we wanted to take a moment to celebrate that. This is from Chris Canty's Instagram feed. Actually, this one is from the radio show's Twitter feed. Yesterday, Chris Canty made the biggest organizational decision of his career. Take us through it.
Yeah, I agreed in principle to a lifetime contract with my franchise player. I got the deal done, unlike Jerry Jones, but it was awesome. I planned it perfectly, Greeny. Date at the MoMA, followed by a walk through Central Park, which is where I popped the big question, and she obviously said yes. So everybody in the Canty family is excited, ecstatic that we got a new addition.
This is absolutely delightful news. What was that, Ryan? I'm sorry, I didn't understand. Let me ask Rob Ninkovich his thoughts. Rob, any advice? As a long-standing married man, any advice for Mr. Canty here?
Just laugh. Laugh a lot. That's what it's all about. Laughing with each other. You know, if you laugh more than yell, you're fine.
Well, Ninko, we talk to each other in movie quotes, so I think we got a lot of laughs in our household.
Give me a movie quote.
Well, not
that's
a word.
That's all you
what
need.
Is a movie
you're
quote?
A big
Give me
man,
an example.
And that ring looks big in your hand, so you must have done well. You've already won that battle, my friend.
Give me the movie quote that sums it all up for you right now.
Oh, man, you're putting me on the spot.
Well, what is one you would say to her?
Randolph, we're back.
He went trading places. I love it. All right, Canty, congratulations.
Thank you, Greeny.
All of us, we love having you. Yates and Ninko, thank you, guys. Thank you, most important, for getting up with us and talking football today. We will see you back in Better Than Ever, same time, same place tomorrow. First Take starts now.